Welcome back to another episode of Mundane Mums. I'm Missy.
And I'm Joni.
And today, Joni, would you like to go first with your mundane thing?
It's not really that mundane. It's actually quite exciting. We have been living in a really old house that we've been slowly fixing up. We've been working on septic tanks, windows, making closet space and painting. And we finally got to the point where we are remodeling the bathroom that was awful. So when you turned on the water, it came out orange, and then orange water would sit in the tub and it wouldn't drain.
And this is a historical home. You gotta give that classy ring. Not old house. Historical home.
Tumble down house. That would happen, and then the door hinges were falling off the cabinets.
It might be a problem in there, huh?
Yeah, and then Danny, because it's a really old house, the P-trap wasn't working to the washing machine. So when we first moved in there, every time we used the washing machine, we get some old septic tank. We were thinking, is the septic tank water washing our clothes? But it turned out not to be that. It was just vents or something like that were being opened to let the washing machine dirty water out, and then it was going into the septic tank, but then we were smelling
the smell you want when you're washing laundry.
Yeah. So I'd kind of like get it out frantically smelling it. It turned out not to be that. So Danny built a little P-trap, because apparently that's what most new houses have these, but as being an old house, didn't have one, so he built one because it was cheaper and at the time we were broke. But the problem with that P-trap is that it did stop the smell, but sometimes when the water's really bubbly, a lot of those bubbles come out of the top of the P-trap that he built. We're going to get a plumber to redo that, so we're quite excited about that. But yeah, like the flooring needed to be done. When you stepped on certain tiles, the tiles broke up, and then our three-year-old liked to take those tiles and build with them.
Very hands-on, yeah. You know, Montessori style, huh?
So we thought it was time to replace the bathroom. So right now we have no floor in our bathroom. He started to like take up the layers of floor. He's like, no, that's still bad. And like, so there's like four layers of floor now just gone. While he was taking out the tub, he found a dead rodent. I'm hoping it wasn't a rat. It was petrified. Yes. It was well and truly dead.
So it's historical.
Yes. So we took some pictures of it and sent it to Danny and told him I'd found more bones for bone broth. Lydia said we should tell him it's what's for supper tonight. Yes. So, and it was like they had a nest and everything. Anyway, we're kind of looking forward to that being finally replaced. The other fun, not so mundane story is that my sister has been forced into homeschooling, and she has a 8-year-old, and he, every day at 9 o'clock in the morning, we have a little book reading time. We were doing a story of Hudson Taylor. Once we finished that, Amy said, oh, I could read a story. So she got these Patricia St. John stories that I'd always wanted my kids to read. In America, you can only get the abridged version. I wanted the originals, but they were really expensive to ship over. And I was saying to Mum, go to some thrift stores and find me these books.
She's supposed to find me some books at thrift stores too in England.
And so, yeah. She has a list that she walks around with.
Right.
But she hasn't been able to leave the house in a year, so my sister then reminded me that she had copies of these books, so now my kids are now getting to read these stories. It's actually based where we live, so it mentions Cradley, Worcester, and Hereford. So the kids had a fun time looking those up on Google. Those exotic places.
Right, well, I have a mundane / exciting tale to share today. Right before we were about to hit the record button, you know, we send the kids outside, and again, they're all sent out somewhere. You might hear them knock on the door soon. As we're getting ready to hit record, we notice children are like running back up to the house. One of them's crying. I was like, I better go out and check on this. Well, it turns out they found a dead bird under a tree, which is, you know, pretty exciting, you know, for kids that haven't had this experience with dead birds, but it happens a lot out here in the country. So I go to put boots on, grab a shovel, and I'm like telling the kids, yeah, don't touch it. Wash your hands.
I put the bones with my dead rat.
I know. See, well, this bone broth will be really organic, I see. But anyways, I get the shovel and I'm like, farmer lingo to them, I'm just gonna toss it in the woods. And I'm like, no, that's so cruel. Your girls are all upset. Mine was crying. And okay, now I'm gonna have to bury this bird. I was like, come on, we're gonna go to the woods. And I'm digging like a shallow hole in pine straw. It's not a real burial, but I know I gotta do something for these kids. I even pray, say a few words, encourage them that the Lord knows even when a sparrow falls, but just encourage them, be thankful for all these other birds that are alive instead of focusing on this one dead bird I just had a berry and pine straw. So that was pretty exciting. As I was going out the door, I yelled to Joni, I might have a mundane story to share now because I'm going to go handle this bird. Today's topic, it's going to be about raising siblings. Any people, parents with multiple children, multiple age groups. This is basically how to help them get along. And as we're saying, how to help them, not that we have the answer, but that we're processing, working through this together. So our main goal is peace in the home. What does that look like when you have 3, 4, 5 children at home arguing over the same toy every day or this or that, you know, just... So me and James, my husband, have kind of looked at what could we do as parents? Because I have a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and almost 2-year-old. We have all girls. And especially the 6 and the 4-year-old, tensions can get really high over certain toys, favorite toy, over anything really. It could be a blanket, you know. But one thing we've looked at is us just being more proactive, like not leaving the screaming to ignore it and letting them work it out, because it doesn't get worked out. It just gets, the screaming elevates and escalates into a, you know, full out war. So basically not leaving ourselves as parents on autopilot. It takes that work as a mom to say, I'm going to get off the couch and see. Okay, we're never sitting on the couch. I don't know why I said that. Yes, it would be me putting my hands out of the dishwater and going to handle it. You know, whatever it is, it's a time where you're busy, you know, doing something else. And you hear this, there's that temptation to say, oh, I'm tired. I'm going to let them do it. I'm so sick of dealing with this today. Or being proactive as a parent and saying like, okay, what can I model for them? The right behavior here.
It starts with us. If they're arguing, if they're fighting, it's really our responsibility to do something about that. You can't expect them to know how to not fight. Like, I have a hard time with it. So to think that they would have the wisdom to know how to handle their own emotions, it is about us having to intervene and first of all take steps and have some kind of standard.
I liked you talked about talking about things out of season, when they're not hot, when they're not angry. This is getting back and going over, well, how should we respond in these situations? And
yeah, I used to have a friend who would say that she really didn't like the idea of having house rules because it felt too rigid. But I do think that having some kind of, I mean, it doesn't have to be that rigid, but it's more just we want to be kind. We want to make sure that we are putting other people above ourselves.
Are we showing love?
And yeah.
Even and extending grace when it's someone does go over those boundaries.
Are we offering forgiveness as well? Like teaching them to, you have to say sorry, but you have to say, I forgive you. You can't sit there holding a grudge. And so just having like those kind of boundaries in place where you're helping them to have self-control, because they're just not going to have self-control. Trying to have the Bible as our standard. I think it just has such great advice in there. Like, I'm reading right now in Exodus about the way that the Lord wanted the Israelites to live. It's just so practical and so helpful. Things like oxes in a ditch, well, you go help them. So, like, when I'm parenting, we're not going to have an ox in the ditch. I mean, we're probably not even going to have a cat in the ditch. Or goldfish. We don't like animals in our house.
I'm totally opposite. So I might have the ox in a ditch one day very soon.
Well, I'm not coming to help you get it out.
The Lord will help me.
But it's like the idea that if somebody falls off their bike, you don't carry on riding past them. You stop, you go back, you help. You know, if somebody's fallen over, you don't just keep playing outside. You make sure that you go help that person. It might be that something happens to your enemy. Well, take those opportunities to teach your children that sometimes the person in your house who you're supposed to love is going to be your enemy. And one good thing that you can do is love your enemy. And when they have a need, fulfill that need. Always just be teaching your older children. When a little one needs a drink, go get them a drink. Go do these things for them, because that's how you foster love in your heart for that other person. And I think that really works how much my older kids completely spoil the 3-year-old, because they'll do everything for him. He's not gonna have a job or anything.
Congratulations.
They are ruining him. It does. The idea of doing things for him and seeing his little face light up, that fosters love for those older kids towards him. When he gets the opportunity to repay them, he loves that, because he's only ever seen that modelled. Whereas if you have a situation where all the little kids have ever seen is these older kids who are allowed to be bullies and allowed to be mean, and then as the first chance they're going to have to do that back, that's what they're going to do. Or they're going to be the kid in the playground who's looking for somebody that they can dominate. Because
they would dominate. They've learned how to do that. This is how you survive.
That's the power that I want. So that's what they go and try and do. So I think it's just about trying to make sure that you're setting that standard. The thing that I used to really think about was that these are little precious jewels that we have. They're not just throwaway. They're the most important things that we'll ever possess, even better than a nice
new treasure.
Bathroom.
Yeah. A new bathroom, yes.
I'm very excited about my new bathroom. But they are nice.
But back to our delicate treasure jewels that we've been given. Yeah.
What are we talking about? Okay, my bathroom. No, yeah. Kids, tools, yeah. So it's worth putting in the effort for so them good. Because they will benefit from it. If they learn how to get along with people. I mean, the Bible talks about blessed are the peacemakers. So if we know that, then we should be trying our very best every day to promote peace because we will be blessed through that. I mean, there's a promise, you know?
I feel like, say as the parent, the mom, you've messed up. I feel like there's also a thing of getting to go back and start from that moment. You know, there's mercies are new. And it's a point of like, because I feel like my goal is I want to correct my daughters from a position of love, not a position of like, I'm frustrated. And it's just like, because then that's not who the father is in our lives. Like, we can go to him.
Yeah.
But that's important for parents to go back and to apologize. You know, almost like, I feel like a lot of people were always scared to say, well, I can't do that. I can, like, say I'm sorry to God, but my children need to know I'm the ultimate authority. Yeah. Where there is a vulnerability to open up and say, when you do mess up, this is what it looks like. You know, you can go back, you can start, kind of thing, admit it, and then we move on. You know, kind of thing from here.
And
I feel like this is the opportunity for us as parents just to model the Father's love, who God the Father is to us, who He's shown us who He is through His Son, Jesus. We just have that opportunity to do that with our children and say, okay, I may not have this right, but it's just like we're all working at this together.
We all want to get better at this and we all want to have peace and joy. And
hopefully this might be an encouragement to you. So you kind of see us, we're right in the middle of the process, but that's the idea of this parenting. It's always going to be a continual process that goes on.
Yeah. And if anybody, I'm kind of aware and very grateful that some older parents are listening sometimes. So if you have any advice for us youngsters,
how to get on the other side of the bridge,
just about youngsters, I'll be 40 this year. then we would like to hear from you. So please put it in the comments and we would like to know any advice that you have, or if you have success stories, then we want to hear from you too.
And if you have disaster stories, maybe not joking. I'm just joking. But thank you for joining us today. And hopefully we didn't babble on too much. Bye for now.
Bye. So there's probably outside this door right now is like Lord of the Flies.
Yeah,
and here we are recording, telling you all how this is how you should do it.
As there's no smoke, there's no fire, right? We don't hear anything going on behind us.
Hopefully Peppa Pig is doing a job out there.
Yes, we have a babysitter. Her name is Peppa.
Do you have the expression here, I'm going to bang your heads together?
Maybe we should so they can see how serious this is. I think James says something like he's going to like spank the tar out of you. Which is so Southern. But one time we heard Lottie repeat that. And I was like, who talks like that? Because I don't talk like that. And then we realized it was coming from him. And we just started laughing because he's joking. But yeah, that happens in this home. So is that the same? Banging heads together, spanking the tar
out of you? When they're arguing, so I'm going to bang your heads together. I just remember hearing that a lot growing up. In other families.
We sound like trolls raising
mom
children.
Out here.
Your mother should be here as a guest for this podcast.
Defending herself. I never said that. Anyway.